He is revealing Himself to His disciples. And on the one hand, they see Him as the Son of God. They see Him as the Messiah. They see Him as the Savior of the world. But on the other hand, they're still thinking in an earthly way. That, oh, you shouldn't give yourself to be sacrificed. You shouldn't give up your life. We want you to stay here with us. But if Jesus stays there with them, what about the rest of us? What have we? See, Jesus knew that He was coming for the whole world, not just those 12, no matter how wonderful they might have been, they weren't all of Jesus' ministry. Jesus knew that it was His job to give Himself up, to be tortured, to be killed, to be humiliated, to be sacrificed in the worst possible manner of the day, so that others might live, others might have faith, others might look up to that empty cross and know that there was a God who was capable of resurrecting not just Jesus, but all of us who believe in Him. If we get caught up in thinking about earthly things, we can forget about the divine. If we worry about the day-to-day stuff, we can forget that there is heavenly work to be done. If we worry about the earthly, we forget about the heavenly. Doesn't mean that there aren't earthly concerns that we need to take care of. There are. We need to pour that slab. We need to fix the leaks. We need to patch the roof. We need to replace the carpet. We need to do all those things that we need to do in order to keep this house of God here and healthy. But if it's just a house, and then where is God? We need to fill this house with faith. We need to fill this house with love. We need to fill this house with joy. We need to fill this house with Jesus. Otherwise, it's just a house. How about your house? Is it just a house? Or is it filled with the Spirit? Is it just a place to stay? Or is it a place where Jesus stays? How about our lives? Do people see God in us? Or do people just see us? I would hope that each of us would walk in such a way that people would look at us and say, there goes somebody who's a Christian. That we would care about other people in such a way that people would say of us, there's somebody who cares about people. That we would take care of the things of the world in such a way that people would say, there is someone who cares about making sure that God is in everything they do. A few years ago, I went back to FSU as an undergraduate. And that was quite an experience because I was over 40. And so there were frequently times when I was the oldest person in the classroom. That included my professors, who were sometimes graduate students who were getting their PhDs or even had their PhDs who were younger than I was. I remember one day, first day of class, I was there bright and early. I had bought all the books. And it was quite an expense to buy all the books for that particular professor because he'd required not one, not two, but three textbooks that he wanted us to read. And I was in the front row, and I had my notebook, and I had my pen, and I was ready. Professor hadn't even arrived yet. Some young people came in and sat behind me. I was just kind of trying to be quiet and wait there, looking forward to being stimulated, enlightening my mind by this professor. And the young people behind me said, "Hi, are you teaching this class? Are you the teacher?" And I said, "No, I'm taking the class." And they looked kind of funny, and then they said, "Oh, well, you must be a graduate student. You're taking this for graduate credit, aren't you?" And I said, "No, I'm an undergraduate." They didn't ask me any questions after that. Not that day. Later on, midterm time, I was the one that they came to and said, "George, do you have notes from last week? We were in spring break and we kind of got home late, and we'd really appreciate it if we could borrow your notes." And I said, "Sure, I've got them all right here. I'll make copies for you." But one of the nicest compliments I ever got was when a professor who was teaching a class for the first time, because the professor who had started the class had retired and they were maintaining the class by team teaching. I don't know if you all know what that is, but professors will share a class. One will teach part, another teach another part, another teach another part, and they'll all come in and do their piece. And one, of course, has to be the lead and be responsible for making sure everything gets taken care of. And the person who was the lead happened to be my advisor in graduate school. And when he got through talking about how they were going to team teach, and this person was going to do this part, and that person was going to do that part, and he said, "And if you got a problem, see George. He seems to always be trying to take care of somebody." And that just kind of bowled me over, because I didn't realize that in the way that I did my school, people had already recognized the fact that I was there not just to go to school, but also that I cared about people and I wanted to take care of them. I cared about how they felt. I cared about how they were doing. I was concerned about my fellow students, many of whom were young enough to be my children. And I felt for them because some of them looked like they were having a hard time. Do we walk in the world as Christians? Are we noticed? Do people see in us that we care? Is this church just a church, just a building? Or is it a congregation of people who love and care for each other and take care of each other and take care to reach out to other people? I'll answer that question for you if you're not part of our congregation. We love each other. We take care of each other and we try and reach out into the world. We're not very big. There's not a whole lot of us, and we don't have a whole lot to share. But just like Don sharing his concrete mixer, if we can help somebody, we usually try and do that. Or if we don't know them, we try and get to know them. And it won't be long before they'd be invited to come to church and have dinner with us and be part of our congregation, and the next thing you know, they're helping other people. Amen. That's how it's supposed to be. That's how we're supposed to do it. We are the family of God. We are a part of the kingdom of God. See, back in those days, kingdoms were really extended families. In the Old Testament, if you read it, it talks about Israel as both the person who founded the country and the country. It was a huge extended family. The prophecy was that Abraham would have a child in his old age, and that child would be the head of a great nation. In other words, have lots of kids, lots of grandkids, lots of great-grandkids, lots of great-great-grandkids, and they'd all marry, and they'd have nieces and nephews and cousins. And well, you know what family is. We are part of the family of God. God is our Father. We're all His children. And so we want to be part of that family. We like being part of this family because we like our little church and we like our little congregation. We like having our dinner. We got some good cooks here. I like to eat. admit it. But we also like being part of that bigger church. That church that we sometimes call Catholic with a little c, which means universal. The church universal. All God's children, everywhere. All believers in Christ. All the people who care about those same things that we care about, that believe in those same things that we believe in. I'll tell you, it was an experience for me the first time I went to South America and was invited to preach. I don't speak enough Spanish to get around the corner, much less preach a sermon. But they said, we have someone who can translate for you. We want you to get up and speak. You're a pastor. You're a pastor of a church in El Norte, the north. We want you to speak. And so, okay. So I went to church and I'm standing up there in front of these people and we're singing a hymn. And I don't understand the words they're saying.